I've been here now as minister for 18 years and 1 week. This is the 18th anniversary of the first Sunday I stood here as minister of St. Andrew's Church. And throughout all of that time, without letting up, I have insisted that the Christian faith is a way of life. Go back to the book of Acts, where we were last year, and you'll find that that description was used of the early Christians, that they were described as people of the way of life. It's not a matter of talk. It's what you do. It's who you are. It's the way you walk. Some of you are of the vintage to remember the movie Saturday Night Fever and the horrible band that was the Bee Gees. I mean, they were all horrible, but just check out the hairstyle of Morris. Is it Morris, the guy on the left? I mean, what is going on there? Hey, it was the 70s. Saturday Night Fever had that amazing song. And it went, "Well, you can tell by the way I use my walk, I'm a woman's man." Anybody remember how it goes? October. I'll sing it and dance at the same time. No, Eleanor says, stop. Eleanor's going to go for it anyway. There's something like this. "Well, you can tell by the way I use my walk." Actually, Eleanor, you are right. You should have stopped right there and left it as a bad idea. "You can tell by the way I use my walk." How do you use your walk? What is your walk? What can people tell about you by the way you use your walk? By the way you live, in other words. I mean, if you claim to be a Christian, then is there enough evidence of that by the way you are using your walk? Or, contrarily, is there that in your lifestyle which completely contradicts your claim to be a Christian? How are you using your walk? Yesterday, I'd been away early morning and came back into Arbroath. And as I approached traffic lights and pedestrian crossing near where the police station is in Liddells, crossing over at that point, I saw Errol Russell. Anybody know who Errol is? Quite a few of you. He used to be our neighbour when we lived on Albert Street, Errol and Jean. Now, I haven't seen him for a while, but I instantly knew it was him. And I guess I would have been the better part of 100 yards away. He wasn't face on to me, he was crossing the road. Couldn't tell by face or by what he was wearing. And yet from 100 yards, I knew instantly it was Errol Russell. I could tell by the way he walked. Errol carries himself in a certain way. It's quite unique. But actually, we all do. Have you ever noticed that? You can sometimes tell a person in the distance just by their gait. I knew it was Errol. And as I got closer, sure enough, it was Errol Russell. If anybody sees him tomorrow or the next day, tell him, "You featured in the sermon at St. Andrew's Church on Sunday." I knew him by the way he walked. Are you known by the way you walk? Somebody's trying to get in at the back door. Would one of the stewards please just, or the front door actually. How do you walk? In other words, how are you living? As we saw last week and have focused on over those last few weeks, The test of a Christian is this, whether or not we walk as Jesus did. Of course, we acknowledge that we don't get it perfect. But in that broader sense, are you walking as Jesus did? Can other folks see that in you? Christianity is a way of life. It's the way you walk. It's about whether or not, in other words, you live in obedience to God's commands. That is the test. It's about whether we obey Him and show our love for Him by that obedience. You want to talk about loving God? You want to talk about a love that you have for Jesus? Then show it by the way you live. Show it by obedience to God's commands. In other words, by how you walk. There's no getting away from that. There's no easy option. It's a life for living. But that is not to say that what you believe is unimportant. And there are many in the church today and beyond who say that what goes on up here, whether you believe this or that or the next thing, hey, don't get too steamed up about that. It doesn't really matter. You believe this, I'll believe the next thing. We'll all get on quite happily. John, in his letter, and the others of the New Testament writers would not have had that. They would have insisted, yes, it's about how you live, but certainly too, it's a matter of what we believe. In fact, of course, the two are linked. Because whether you always recognize it or not, what you believe will influence the way you live. Belief A will lead to behavior B. They are always linked. You know when your conscience gets to you? You all know what your conscience is, don't you? It just is that little niggle inside. Your conscience gets to you when your behaviour does not match your belief. And it gets to you because there is a disconnect. There's a divergence. How you're living your life, the things you're doing, they do not add up in relation to the things you say that you believe. And that is when your conscience kicks in. The prompting of the Holy Spirit. So, walk the walk. Live out the Christian faith. But it's about what we believe as well. So in his letters to these early Christians, John deals also with matters of belief. And principally in his first epistle, the question of what we believe about Jesus and who was Jesus. This was the key debate in John's day, and it was for hundreds of years afterwards until they reached some kind of settlement at those great conferences they had of the church in the 4th century. All those years afterwards, all these years during which they debated back and forward, who exactly was Jesus? What was his nature? And to be more specific, they battled back and forward over this main question. Was Jesus human? Or was Jesus divine? And if we want to say he was both, then how can that be? And if you go to the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, those great statements of belief in the church, you'll find how they tried to work it out. How they tried to say those things about who Jesus was. Now, we can tell that in John's situation, in the churches that he was responsible for, there were those who were denying that Jesus was a human being. They were happy enough to accept that he was divine, that he had come down from heaven in some way, but that as he was among people, he was never actually a person. Maybe God in disguise or something like that, but they denied his humanity. And they were trying to teach in those terms, claiming that they had special spiritual insight in those matters. John had to say, therefore, to the churches he was responsible for, don't believe everything you hear. Don't believe everything that people will want to say to you. You have to test it. You have to check it out. Don't be so gullible as just to take it all in. Because some of what you're going to hear, some of what people will try to teach you will be plain wrong. He speaks about false prophets in the world. He says, wise up, be smart. Test it out to see if it's real and true and if it can be believed or not. Even today, the church must continue to test and to see if what is being offered and what is being taught, even considering moral dilemmas that face the church and so on, we need to consider together, what is the Spirit saying? Where is the truth in all of this? And always at its best, the church has done that together, corporately, wrestling with those problems until reaching a considered sense that yes, this is of God. The church decides. Now for John, on this particular question of Jesus, it was simple. You can tell whether a person is true or not of the Spirit by whether they accept or not that Jesus was a human being. Anyone who acknowledges that is of God. Of course, at other times there have been those who have gone to the other end of the spectrum and have denied the divinity of Jesus. They've been perfectly happy to accept that sure, there was this guy who lived 2,000 years ago and he was a good guy and he taught cleverly and displayed great wisdom, but he was only a human being. Church, we must hold on to both. The teacher that I've referred to frequently in this particular series, John Stott, he makes it absolutely clear. The fundamental Christian doctrine, which can never be compromised, concerns the eternal, divine, human person of Jesus. It's not up for grabs. We need to hold on to this great truth about who Jesus was. Sure, it's what we call a paradox. A paradox is when you've got two seemingly contradictory statements and that they are held together. And yet, despite the seeming contradictions in it, this is what the church has insisted on. The Orthodox Church has insisted on both parts that Jesus was God and that Jesus was human. How can both be true? We wonder to ourselves. I guess in the same kind of way that if I was to hold a block of ice and a glass of water, we could say that these are different. One's solid, one's liquid, and yet they are essentially the same in terms of their chemical composition. John was fighting hard to maintain this truth that Jesus was both human and divine, and the church today must hold on to it. And maybe some of you are wondering, does it really matter? Does it really matter what we think and doctrine and theology and stuff like that? You've been saying it's about how we live, so does it really matter, this belief? It does to me. It's crucial to me that I have a Saviour who knows. A Saviour who understands. A saviour who feels. A saviour who got tired when he was pushed to the limit, because I know what that's like, and it's good to know that he does. A saviour who got hungry and thirsty. A saviour who got upset and cried. A saviour who got exasperated by the slowness of the folks who were following him. A saviour who knew what it was to be angry at hypocrisy and injustice. A saviour who was tempted. We all know what it is to be tempted. I'm so glad that Jesus was human, because he's been where we are. I'm so glad we have a Saviour who is human. He knows what it's like to lose a friend. He knows what it's like to go through all the stuff we go through. So do you ask me, does it matter that we insist that Jesus was human? Yes, it does. It makes all the difference in the world. Okay, so does it matter? You want to insist that he was also God? Yes, it does. You want to know something? In those days, the Romans crucified upwards of 10,000 folk. It wasn't just Jesus and another two either side. The Romans crucified upwards of 10,000 people. Jesus was one of them. But if he was only a human, then what possible meaning does his death have? Just another of those 10,000. It means nothing to me. But he was the Son of God. And his death means everything to me. His death is God himself laying down his life. So much does he love me. That means everything. Jesus, who knew all the glory of heaven, gave it all up to come and suffer and to endure the pains of the cross. And that counts, because it was God. So, people, when you leave here today, go out and by the way you walk, let it be known who you are. But let us be a church that holds fast to the faith of the church. Let us be a church that will not give up on what the apostles taught about Jesus. Why? Because it matters. He was like us, and he was God. Let's pray.